Trinadapi sunichena tada eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 eva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. May Krishna bless everyone here. I have been invited to speak on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We are currently going in order. We are in the end of chapter 7. Chapter 7 is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. The Absolute is defined in the Vedanta either as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. So depending on if you're a jnani, a yogi, or a bhakta, your understanding of Brahman will be one of those three. Your understanding of the Absolute will be either Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So I want to first of all thank my sponsors for inviting me every month. May Krishna bless them. If you are ready to proceed in hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then please indicate so by saying, Shri Krishna Sharanang Mama. Thank you for your vote of confidence. So we left off on text number 24. We'll try to finish the chapter this evening. We have a few verses, 24 through 30. Avyaktam vyaktim apanang manyante mam abudaya. Parang bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Less intelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was impersonal before, but have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So, in this Bhagavad Gita, the speaker, Krishna, is setting down what are the actual facts of the Absolute Truth. So here in this verse, abudaya. Abudaya means that they either have no intelligence or they're less intelligent. And Krishna says, because of that, they do not understand my true position. It is a common misunderstanding. Many people think that Krishna, or perhaps any avatar, is a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. This is a common misunderstanding. But you will find in this Bhagavad Gita, at the end of chapter 14, Brahmano hi prashtishta aham. Krishna says that this Brahman, pratishta aham, is resting on me. So anyone who thinks that Krishna is coming from Brahman has poor fund of knowledge, because Krishna clearly says, this Brahman is resting on me. The Brahman is simply the jyoti, the effulgent rays emanating from the body of Krishna. That's why he says in this verse, they do not know my higher nature. Another misunderstanding, common misunderstanding. People think that when God comes to this material world, he has a material body. That is another big misunderstanding. They assume that if God comes to this material world, he must have a material body, because they do not know, as Krishna says here, my higher nature. Krishna's higher nature, Sat, Chit, Ananda. And then the very important word, Vigraha. Vigraha means body. Vigraha means form. So even when God comes down, that's the meaning of avatar, not some silly movie. Avatar means that person descends from the transcendental spiritual world and comes down to the material world out of his causeless mercy to deliver Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam, to annihilate the miscreants and give pleasure to the devotees. But that form is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That's what it means by Krishna's higher nature. And then he says, which is imperishable and supreme. You and I both know, we look in the mirror every day, we know what's happening with this nature. Another wrinkle, no teeth, you got to wear plastic teeth, hearing aid, bifocals, you need so many pills and medicines, Ayurvedic, this, that. Why? Because the material body is dwindling. There are six changes in the material world: birth, growth, sustenance, dwindling, decay, and then finish, death. But Krishna is saying here, my nature, my body, imperishable. So this is a very important concept to understand, that Krishna was not originally impersonal and now temporarily he's manifesting a form. Krishna here is directly refuting that notion, which is very common, not just in Hinduism, in many, many religions, they have that conception that the avatar, the incarnation of God, originally was impersonal, ultimately is impersonal, and then when coming to the material world, manifests a temporary material form. Krishna is saying, no, that is not the case with me. It may be the case with others, but Krishna is saying it's not the case with me. My higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Krishna now will continue, because actually the theme of these final verses in this seventh chapter is all about understanding and knowing who is God. Religion means to know what is God and what is God's laws. That is religion. Some people, I've done many high school and college lectures. So I am invited by Cal State LA, other colleges on a yearly basis to speak to religion classes or even history classes. So the first thing we ask the students, what is religion? So you'll hear, what will the students say? Oh, religion means some rules. Religion means some rituals. These are college students. And so my friend Archita Das and I, we wait, we let the students, they all give their answers, but hardly one gives the correct answer, the G word, God. Religion means to understand who is God and what is he saying. That's religion. If religion does not define who is God and what he says, then that's not religion, it's something else. Religion means the science of God. And the best book, The best book to understand the science of God is Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it's spoken by God directly. That's like whenever there's some big event, say a big football game. After the game, they go to the person who won the game and they want to know, how did you win the game? And he says, or when there's some very important political change, they'll go to the prime minister, to the president, as we say in America, find out from the horse's mouth, which is very interesting because that expression from the horse's mouth is actually Vedic, because Krishna in his form as Hayagriva spoke the Vedic knowledge out of the head of a horse. So little do the American people know that that's actually very true, but not some mundane horse. Even the Lord has the head of a horse, Hayashirsha. Again, his form is supreme and imperishable. Next week, there'll be a holy day on Wednesday, the appearance of Lord Varaha. So that was the form of a boar. So someone who doesn't know will think, oh, you Hindu people are worshiping a hog. No, we're worshiping God who took that form, but he's still God. Because you'll read in the pastime, Lord Brahma felt like he had to sneeze, and out from his nose came a little boar the size of the thumb. But then that boar expanded to universal proportions. So obviously it's not a boar of this material world. And the sages could understand, oh, this phenomenon must mean this is the Lord, Narayan. And they offered prayers to that Varaha. And then he picked up the earth, which had fallen in the Garbhodak ocean, and then killed the demon Hiranyaksha by slapping him on the earlobe. Then he pierced him with the tusk. But he killed him just like this. Any boar can kill someone just like this? No. But if that boar is God, so again, any incarnation, a true avatar, that form is imperishable and supreme. So let's go to the next verse. Nahang prakasha saravasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yang nabi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. Krishna now says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. Now, this has to be understood. He's not talking about material. When he says the foolish and unintelligent, it has nothing to do with the material plane. It means from the spiritual viewpoint. Because on the material plane, that has nothing to do with spiritual understanding. Again, this last section of chapter 7 is all about who's qualified to understand God. So when Krishna says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, someone may say, oh, then this person is big professor. This person is very, very expert in material things. That means he's qualified to understand God. No. Has nothing to do with material. It has to do with foolish and unintelligent based on the Vedas, based on spiritual criteria, like the word Aryan. Aryan is not referring to a progressive material civilization. Aryan means that human society which has as its priority liberation. America does not have spiritual liberation as its priority. What's America's priority? Make money, dominate the world, bomb other countries, take their oil, control, capture. I hope they're not listening to me. The CIA. Yes. But I have to speak the truth. I'm supposed to be a Brahmana. Satyam. I have to speak the truth. correct? Whether people like it or not. But I have to make it palatable. That's the trick. So, foolish and unintelligent means that someone has no knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, has no knowledge of Krishna. Foolish means, you want to understand what is a fool? Chapter 16. In chapter 16, after the first three verses, Krishna explains who is a fool. A fool is someone who thinks, I am this body. That's a fool. Just as how foolish you would be if you introduced yourself. I am Toyota. No, you drive a Toyota. No, I am Toyota. Or say you have a Mercedes. I am Mercedes. Yes. We are all fools to a lesser or greater degree depending on how much we identify. Of course, in this world, to some degree, you have to identify, but we should know, at least theoretically, that I'm not this body. I mean, that was the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna started right from there. Because without that understanding, you can't progress. Without understanding that, there's no question of understanding Radha and Krishna, Yugala Pirati, and all this. So that's why Krishna began. Here's lesson number one. Just like I also am teaching some students some music. So they all have in their head, I want to play like this. Say one boy is, I'm teaching him guitar. So he wants to play. I said, wait. First you have to learn, yes, the scale. Years from now, then you can do. I'm also teaching one Indian gentleman harmonium and singing. So I have to teach him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's where you start. Not like he can sing like Gadadhar after the first lesson. Doesn't work that way. So spiritual life begins with understanding, at least accepting the principle, I'm not this body. All right? Now, if we want that conception to be fixed, bhakti. The more you do devotional service, then that conception, I'm not this body, becomes more and more prevalent. You understand? That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mere renunciation of activities will not give you happiness. You have to act in the status of liberation. That's bhakti, devotional activities. So your point that who actually, that's all right, but at least theoretically we should accept what Krishna says when he says, I'm not this body. We should at least accept that. We may not always act like that. That's why we're in Maya. And my favorite example, one time Prabhupada had a sannyasi disciple. So the disciple went to Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. I did this. I made a mistake. I fell into Maya. Prabhupada said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So that is our position. Yes. Yes, to err is human. All right. But at least you should know that I'm not this body. Fair enough? At least we got to start somewhere. All right. Krishna says, I never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency. So this internal potency is known as Yoga Maya. Krishna has two potencies, Yoga Maya, Mahamaya. We're in Mahamaya. We're an illusion. And you correctly pointed out. What is that illusion? I think I'm this body. I think that I am this husband of this family. I think that I am the controller of this country. I think that I'm the president of this corporation. All this is under the influence of this Mahamaya, material illusion. But there's another illusion, Yogamaya. Like Yashoda Mata. She's also an illusion. How is that? Because she thinks Krishna is her son. And she thinks I'm going to punish Krishna. She thinks I'm going to tie up Damodar. All right? And I'm going to show this my stick. Huh? So, how can she not be an illusion dealing with Krishna like? Yes. Krishna allows Yashoda to be in that illusion so that he enjoys. So there's two kinds. So take your pick. Which illusion you want to be? You want to be in Placentia, California illusion or Vrindavan? Which one? Take your pick. Yes. Very good. You all passed the examination. Very good. But you have to be in illusion either way. So here, Krishna is saying, I'm not manifest to those who are foolish and unintelligent. Unintelligent means I don't have a spiritual master and I don't have any understanding of the Vedas. I have no transcendental knowledge. That's a fool. Fool and unintelligent means I don't have any spiritual guidance. But if you have a guru, you should know. You should know that you're not this body. If you have a spiritual master, if you're under the structure of a spiritual teacher, then you should know certain things. All right? That you should know. You're not unintelligent because Guru Sadhu Shastra and the focal point, as mentioned last night, the focal point is Shastra. And Krishna will point this out at the end of chapter 16. At the end of chapter 16, because in chapter 16, Krishna discusses at length who is a demon, who is a fool, who is an asura. And after that, Krishna says, therefore, one should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by Shastra, by the Vedas. Just like when you get before you get that license to drive the car, you have to pass a written test and a driving test. They still do that? You have to do the written test because you have to know what is the laws. If the policeman stops you, you cannot give the excuse, officer, I didn't know driving 90 miles an hour was against the law. What will the policeman say? You're supposed to know, fool. Here's the ticket, appear in court. Because I didn't know it was wrong. So ignorance is no excuse. You have that driver's license, you're supposed to know. So Krishna is using that same logic. Here is, you've got a human form of life. It's your responsibility to know what is to be done and what is not to be done. At the time of death, if you argue with Yamaraj, I didn't know that was wrong to do this. This is an argument you'll get from people. Ignorance is no excuse. You're supposed to know. And that's why studying Bhagavad Gita, distribution of Bhagavad Gita is so important, so that people will know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Bhagavad Gita, just that one book, you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll know enough what is to be done and what is not to be done. You will be nicely situated. Even just this one book, Bhagavad Gita. Correct. Yes. Bhagavad Gita is the operating manual for the human form of life. Yes. And we see what happens. So we get a new computer. We don't take time to. We just go. And then all of a sudden it crashes, huh? Yeah. Then we go back to the manual. So that's a good point. Yes. So Bhagavad Gita is the manual, or I like to say the roadmap to liberation. There's the road to liberation. All right? GPS, Bhagavad Gita. All you have to do is click into Bhagavad Gita and that road, even Krishna says in chapter 9, Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. Right? Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. Vartmani means path. So there's a path for repeated birth and death. That means don't read Bhagavad Gita. If you want to come back again and again and again, don't read Bhagavad Gita. But if you want liberation, read Bhagavad Gita. And therefore Krishna says, I'm covered for the foolish and unintelligent. They cannot actually see me. See, that's another thing. There are so many examples for people. God was right in front of them, they couldn't recognize. Right? Sometimes it is said, I can't remember the exact expression, but we even say in the material world here in America, oh, you wouldn't be able to see an opportunity if it was right in front of your face. But somebody who's intelligent is looking for the, oh, there it is. Sometimes that happens. We get something and we don't appreciate what it is. I mean, who cares? But somebody else knows the value. So Krishna says, I am covered in the Bhagavatam. There's that event. Krishna is wrestling with Chandura, Mushtika, Balaram. So many people are in the wrestling arena. They're all seeing Krishna. There's only one Krishna. They're all seeing it, but they're all seeing differently. The residents of Mathura, they're looking at Krishna wrestling with Mushtikacharya, I forget who he's fighting. And they see, oh, here is this great person. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, because Krishna's only 11 years old, the cowherd boys, hey, there's our Krishna, there's... They see their friend. The gopis are also watching the arena. Who do they see? Cupid. Right? Mother Yashoda, Nanda, Devaki, Vasudev, they're also watching. What do they see? My son. And Kamsa is also seeing, and what is he seeing? Death. So everyone's seeing Krishna, but depending on your position, you see differently. That's the way it is. You want to, and that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita several times, you want to really see me? Bhakti. You want to really know me? Bhakti. You want to come to me? Bhakti. Not karma, not jnana, not yoga. Bhakti. This is very clear in Bhagavad Gita. There's no, option. It's very clear. Bhagavad Gita is straight down the middle. Bhakti, 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 bhakti. Mam ekam sharanam. Doesn't get any more clearer than that. Mam eka. Eka means only. It's like if you give someone directions to your house. So that to get to your house, you got to go this. He makes one wrong turn, he may not get there for a few hours. Right? Because if you give someone directions, turn left here, then turn right, then, right? I've had even the GPS sometimes is screwy. I've tested that thing. I know how to get to a certain, so sometimes I test it. Let's say, I know how to come here from my house blindfolded. I've been here so, right? So sometimes, let me see what this is. So one time on the way home from here, I put the GPS, okay, take me from here to my house. It had me going for 3 hours. I said, what kind of GPS is this? Stupid. So silly. Yeah. Oh, it took me all the way. It was crazy. I wound up on, what is that? I forget. Anyway, it was silly. They do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So this is important point about Krishna. Ajam, unborn. But then someone's going to say, wait a second, Janmashtami night. Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki. So how can you say he's unborn? But remember, how did he first appear? Vishnu Narayan. Then he turned himself into Bambino. But first, he showed himself as Vishnu Narayan. So that right there shows you he's unborn. Okay? But even Kunti has a nice prayer. The unborn is taking birth in Kunti's prayer. The unborn is, so it seems contradictory, because that's how this, the higher Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the highest of all the Vedas, right? So there's going to be that kind of concept. The unborn taking birth, but infallible. Achyuta, everyone say. This is a very important word. God is Achyuta, and it goes back to my original point, that even Avatar comes to earth, he's still infallible. We are not infallible, right? We are always making mistakes. Nobody gets 100% on every exam. And if the IRS really studied your tax return, disallow. We try our best to, but we make so many mistakes. So many mistakes. So again, you said, we know, we've heard we're not the body, but we don't think like that. Yes, because we're not infallible. Yes? Yes. Yes, yes, because I'll give you a good example. Have you been to Jagannath Puri? All right. But you know what the Jagannath deity looks like. You've been to LA Temple. So you see, you know the Jagannath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would look at the Jagannath deity, it would turn into Shyamasundar. Everyone else was seeing Jagannath, right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of his Mahabhav, that Jagannath turned into Shyamasundar Tribanga Lalitam. You understand? So yes, for the devotee also, that just like Bhishma wanted to see that form of Krishna, the fighter. All right? And there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam that actually Krishna manifests according to the specific desire of the devotee. You understand? So if you have a particular form of Krishna that you really, really want to see, that will be the form manifested. Another time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was mentioning this last night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in an ecstasy. So all the devotees were, I want to see you in this form. So Chaitanya would manifest. So he was manifesting the Varaha form, all the different forms, Mohini Murti, all the different forms, like that. And one time, somebody was chanting, Lord Chaitanya manifested his Nisringa form, and ran out into the streets, and the people were going, oh my God, Nisringadeva has come! And so they had to capture him, because it was going to become a disturbance. So Krishna will do that. He'll manifest that exact form which you are holding in your heart of hearts. See, you guys know better than me. Why? Very good. Yes. Cupid. Their buddy. Their buddy. Like that. Okay? If that's what the devotee wants, it's all Krishna reciprocates. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajamyam. But we shouldn't think it's like I want this form. Okay, put my quarter in. No, you have to adhikari. You have to be qualified, and your devotion. I'll give you a good example. One time Krishna was hiding from the gopis. So he was hiding in the bushes. The gopis were coming. They knew, oh, there's Krishna. So what did Krishna do? He manifested Narayan form. So the gopis are not attracted to Narayan. They paid their obeisances and said, oh, Narayan, Have you seen Krishna? But then Radharani came. When Radharani came, those two extra arms, and it melted away the two extra. It's not Narayan, it's Krishna. So Krishna could pretend in front of the other gopis, but in front of Radharani, he cannot pretend. Krishna will manifest as he is. Okay? Shall we continue? So Krishna is achyuta, infallible. And he's also infallible in his mercy toward his devotees. Was he not infallible for Prahlad? Did he not ultimately come and deliver Prahlad? So although Krishna is achyuta, he never falls. He never becomes conditioned by the material energy. He is also infallible in terms of his response to his devotees. So basically what it comes down to, as he tells Arjuna at the end of chapter 6, be a devotee. All we have to do is be a devotee. Everything will be taken care of. And of course, the next question is, how do I be a devotee? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bolo, chant, everybody. Text 26, Vedahang samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chabutani mangtu vedana kaschana. So here's the verse where Krishna demonstrates how he is God. Krishna says, I know everything, past, present, and future. We would love to be able to know the future. If we knew the future, we'd be very, very rich, right? But we don't know what the future is. Nobody knows. And even Bhishma, the great Mahajan, said, nobody can figure out the plan of Lord Sri Krishna. Nobody. It's a mystery. Nobody can figure out. Even somebody as great as Bhishma was telling the Pandavas on his deathbed, nobody knows the plan of Lord Sri Krishna, that why the Pandavas had to suffer so much, why there had to be all that intrigue, and why they had to go through Som just so that Yudhishthira could be king. And that's why Bhishma, on his deathbed, because Yudhishthira was so despondent after the battle, he felt so responsible that millions of people had died just so that he could become king, he felt very bad. That's why he's Dharmaraj. He's so responsible and so pious, the most pious. So after the battle, he was feeling very, very bad. Even Krishna couldn't get him out of his despondency. Imagine, even Krishna couldn't turn Yudhishthira's mind. So Krishna said, okay, come with me. So Krishna took Yudhishthira, the Pandavas, to Bhishma on his bed of arrows. Bhishma convinced Yudhishthira. Just see. So sometimes the devotee can do what Krishna can't do. Sometimes Krishna does like that. Bhishma told Yudhishthira, nobody can understand the plan of Krishna. When I think about everything that you wonderful boys had to tolerate, it is inconceivable. And then Bhishma told Yudhishthira, it is Krishna's desire that you are king. Accept it. Just accept it. Yudhishthira is not accepting the throne because of pride and envy and self-aggrandizement. He's accepting it because it is Krishna's plan, Krishna's desire. So Krishna knows everything that happened in the past. We don't know what happened in the past. I don't know what I was a couple of lifetimes ago. I don't know what I was in my last life. Sometimes I'm asked that question when I'm explaining about karma and reincarnation. So the college students will say, well, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, how come I don't remember what I was in my past life? And the answer is, that's God's mercy that you don't. Because, yes, It would be great if I was this great exalted person in my past life. But then I would think, well, if I was so great in my past life, how come I'm such an idiot now? So that would be a torture, wouldn't it? And another thing, say in my last life, something very traumatic had happened, right? Would you want to remember, even in this life, people go through traumatic rape or some horrible, and it's very difficult for them to forget such tragic events. So it's Krishna's mercy that we don't remember we were Hitler in our previous life or whatever. It's his mercy that, all right, you start with a clean slate, good or bad. You start with a clean slate. You get in other words, you get a good start. All right, you did all this in the past. That's all right. Now you get a chance. Let's work it out. So Krishna says, I know all living entities, but me, no one knows. How does Krishna know everyone? He's in your heart. And not only that, when we were in the spiritual world and we came here, Krishna did not abandon us. Again, achyuta. When we lost the kingdom of God and entered the material world because of misuse of free will, Krishna did not abandon us. Krishna said, okay, I will accompany you. Every birth that you take, I'll be with you. And that is Paramatma, Super Soul. That same Super Soul is with us this life, past life, and all your lives in the future. That same Krishna. So that's why Krishna says, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. And that's why Prahlad says the same thing. Suridam Sarvadehina. Krishna is the dearmost friend of everyone. Because he's been with us. You may have a good wife. I have a good wife. You may have a good friend. That's this life. But next life, we don't know. We don't know. But we know this much. Krishna has been with us life after life and will always be with us until we make it back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna knows us. Now let's continue. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parandhava. O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So that's the only reason why we're here. Separate, independent desire. That's the only reason. Why does this whole material world exist? It exists because we want it. As soon as you don't want to be here in this material world, you will be delivered. The material world will cease to exist when you absolutely no longer want to be here. But it's easier said than done, as you pointed out. It's easier said than done. That's why Krishna says, Mamekam Sharanam. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take that we have, as Prabhupada used to say, if you have a desire for one rasgula, you don't go back. And I'm seeing that in my own life. Because what is this? What's happening? We pass one situation, then another allurement. You don't want Krishna. You don't want to go back to Krishna. You want this instead. That's what the material energy, deluding, sidetracking us. That's what this material energy is doing. We all know it. As students, we're supposed to study hard, but then there's the TV, the music, our friends, parties. We get sidetracked. We don't buckle down. Same way in any field of activity, whether you're an athlete or a businessman, if you stay focused, if you stay determined, and you put in, they have this thing, the 1,000-hour rule, $10,000 rule. In other words, if you want something very, very special, you have to put in the time and energy. What to speak of liberation? It's not a cheap thing. You have to put in the time and the energy. That's what it takes. Otherwise, it's so easy to be deluded. So easy. After all, the material energy is all powerful. All powerful. So much attraction. That's why Krishna is Madana Mohan. Everyone say. Madan Mohan means Krishna is actually more powerful than the illusion. What's illusion? I'll tell you what's illusion. Oh, microphone, leave me, leave me, leave me. How silly that is, isn't it? I'm asking the microphone to leave me, but I'm the one who's holding on. All I have to do is let go, right? That's each and every one of us. We're holding on to this material existence when Krishna is saying, let go and hold on to me. Ma may come, Sharanam. Take shelter of me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Desire and hate, desire. What is that desire? That desire is, I want to enjoy. That's the original sin. I want to enjoy. What is pure desire? I want to serve God. That is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. When we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I'm saying, I do not want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the servant. I want to be the eternal servant. My Lord, give me some service. That is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. So the more I engage in service, service to Krishna, the more I do that, then I'm getting further and further on the path of liberation. But the more I decide, no, I want to enjoy, then I'm going further away from liberation. And this is going on every second. At every second, I'm making a decision. Do I want to serve God or do I want to enjoy? And again, the deluding energy is saying, you don't want to read Bhagavad Gita. You don't want to go to temple. You want to watch your big HD high definition screen and watch some football game. Right? Look how many people came today. So where's everybody else? TV land. They've been ensnared by the deluding energy. But those who are serious and sincere, they turned off the TV and came to the television. Came to the temple. Krishna vision. Right. So this is your big high definition screen. That's super high definition. All right. Text 28. Yeshang twantikatam papam chananam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mang dridha vrata. So that's the line. Dridha vrata. Firm determination. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion and engage themselves in my service with determination. There it is. Determination. So to actually traverse the path of liberation, several things have to happen. At least you have to be pious. You can't be engaged in sinful activities. Number two, by studying Bhagavad Gita, then you have to be able to transcend the dualities. Then you can engage in Krishna's service with determination. And that's what it's going to take. Determination. That's why you take vows at the time of initiation. Those vows help to give you determination. Because you made those vows, now you have resolved. I am determined. Say, you see on the television all these advertisements for lap band or this diet and that diet. So what are they? They're trying to get you to become determined, right? So it's a principle either in the material world or the spiritual world. Without determination, you're not going to be successful. So Krishna is saying, yes, if you want me, if you want liberation, then you must engage in my service with determination. And Krishna will help. Krishna will certainly help. If you give just, that's why it said in earlier, Nehabi krama nashyasti pratyavayo navidyate, swalpam. Even a little bit of effort can go a long way. So all we have to do is try. Sometimes people say, oh, I have no determination to chant. So we say, okay, pray for the determination to chant. Oh, I can't even do that. Then pray to pray. I can't even do that. Then pray to be able to pray. In other words, like my mother used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. If you want it, Krishna will help. God helps those who help themselves. As Prabhupada used to say, nowhere did Krishna tell Arjuna, you sit on the chariot, smoke ganja, I'll do everything. No. Krishna was instructing Arjuna so that he would become determined to fight. And at the end, Krishna said, okay, I've told you everything. Now decide what you want to do. And by the end, Arjuna had become determined. He said, yes, my doubts, my illusion is all gone. Now I will do as you say. He got determined. So read Bhagavad Gita as long as it takes for you to get determined to engage in Krishna consciousness. I was mentioning last night at Krishna Kumar's house, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita, the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to get attached to chanting the holy name. And by chanting the holy name, what's the purpose? You become determined to learn more and more Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It becomes a cycle. The more you chant, the more you want to read. The more you read, the more you want to chant or serve. It all works. So, like myself, if I find that I don't have any determination, then I take a time out and I spend quality time with Krishna. I spend as much time, like today. Today I spent a few good hours studying Bhagavad Gita so that I was ready for this class today. Because I have to be prepared. I have to do my homework. I have to be determined, strong. I have to kick out the illusion, the maya. I have to get what is called fired up. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We have two more verses. We'll finish the chapter. Jara marana mokshaya mama sritya yatantiye te brahmatad vidu kritsnam adyatmang karma chakilam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, Take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So yes, someone who's endeavoring for liberation, right? They're intelligent. If you're not striving for liberation, then you're not intelligent. So that's one of the keys here. Bhagavad Gita is teaching you how to become liberated. This is the book. You want liberation? Read Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna says, take refuge in me. How? Through devotional service. They are Brahman. So, you want liberation? You want refuge? Then take to devotional service. Final verse. Sadi bhutadi daivang mang sadi yagyam chaye vidu prayana kala pichamang te vidur yukta chetasa. Those in full consciousness of me. In other words, no distractions. Totally locked up in Krishna. Who know me as the Supreme Lord to be the governing principle of the material manifestation. So yes, we should have no doubts. This material manifestation is under the rule of Krishna, as he will say in chapter 9. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad vipari vartate. Krishna will say, this material world under my thumb. That Krishna is the governing principle of all the demigods. In the Vedas and even in the Bhagavatam, it is said that all the demigods are part and parcel of the universal form of the Lord. So they are his servants. They are his assistants in the material world. That Krishna is the governing principle beyond all the methods of sacrifice. Krishna's name, Yajna, Yajnapati. All sacrifice is meant to please Krishna. As he said at the end of chapter 5, Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. He is the beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. He's the enjoyer. So, if we can understand this about Krishna, he says, then you can know me even at the hour of death, the final exam. We were talking about this last night also, that this whole life is simply one examination. The final exam is death. In the next chapter, we will understand, Krishna will say, whatever you're thinking of in your heart at the time of death, that determines your next life. You all know Bharat. Bharat was thinking of a deer. He took birth as a deer. But Krishna says, but if you can think of me, then you will come to me. That is what we are practicing. When you practice sadhana bhakti, under the rules and regulations of the guru, sadhu, and shastra, the reason you're doing that is to qualify yourself, prepare yourself, an apprenticeship, so that when the time of death comes, you can be fully absorbed in thought of Krishna. So that's why we get up early. That's why we do japa. That's why we worship the deity. People sometimes ask, why do you do all these things? It is for this purpose. We are training ourselves so that when that crucial moment comes, we are prepared. Today there were two big football games played. So all week, those four teams were doing intense practice and training for the game. So life is one big football game. That's what life is. or one big soccer match or cricket, whatever game you like. But that final, so what we're doing now is preparing for the final game, the Super Bowl. So therefore, we have to practice seriously. Those of you, anybody here lawyer? We have any lawyers in the house? My son-in-law, he's a lawyer. So he had to study hours and hours and hours to pass the bar exam. He was locked up and he was staying with us in that time. So he would spend 12 hours a day studying those books. Still, he had to take the exam 2-3 times. But there's a lot to know. So the same way, everything, if you want anything of value, you have to put the time and energy in. I'm sure we have lots of engineers here, right? How many engineers we've got? You're an engineer, right? Were you able to become an engineer by smoking and drinking and partying? Huh? Really? You didn't have to study? How many doctors we have? Doctors. Any doctors in the house? Dentists? Huh? If you want to be a doctor, you have to put in lots of time studying. So the same way, life, this whole life that we have is a preparation for the final exam, the moment of death. And you can't fake it. You can't fake it. Whatever is really there in your heart, that's going to come out at the time of death. So this, we are cultivating, every one of us, we're cultivating a certain kind of consciousness in our heart. And that's going to be coming out at the time of death. So therefore, we have to keep the heart clean and pure and not let jealousy, hate, envy, and material desires kill us, destroy us. We have to come to the stage where the heart is clean. Cheto darpana marjanam. We are preparing for the moment of death, so at the time of death, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Everybody, bolo! Hari Harae Namaha. 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 Who wants a blessing? Do you want a blessing? If you want a blessing, you have to raise your hand. You don't raise your hand, you don't get both hands. Both hands. All right, close your eyes. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless everyone here in Radharaman Temple. Remove all the obstacles in their lives. And my Lord, just as you flooded California this week with rain, I want you to flood their hearts with your mercy, with your love, with your knowledge. Flood their hearts so that the seeds of material desire are flooded and cannot fructify. And now, may they shine in their hearts. May you shine in their hearts and give them all peace. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Was that all right? All right. Now I'm going to pray for myself. Can I pray for myself? And I'm very serious, actually. My Lord, let me live for another 50 more years. And, my Lord, when it's time for me to leave, I wanted to be here in Radharaman speaking about you. How does that sound? All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
With all the audience who are here.
Yes, 50 years from now.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Jai Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi, Gaura Bhakti Vrinda.
Very good. So one last thing. When I prayed that after 50 years, I can give up my body here while speaking. So when that happens, nobody cry. Just have a big utsav, have a big festival, chant, dance, and take prasadam. No crying. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.